This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Kennedy Molloy.
Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Welcome to the Hump Day Post-Budget Special Edition of Kennedy Molloy. We've got a chock-a-block show for you today. We're going to talk budget right off the bat, and we're going to be joined by Scotty Pape.
Well, he's the guy that will get our heads around it because, you know, sometimes it affects you, sometimes it doesn't. Yeah, I've got one beef, and it's to do with travel. We've got to hit hard.
We'll get to the bottom of that.
I'll ask him about
it. He'll break it down for us into bite-sized pieces so that Triple M audience can digest it. Hey, big guest today, Hamish Blake.
Oh,
was
great.
Was going to come in yesterday, but I don't think so. I'll go to tomorrow. So he's going to come in and
talk up
a storm.
We're going to help a farmer. You know, a farmer in Australia, he's in Sydney, and he's got problems with his land and not enough water, and he needs...
Farmers have had it too good for
time. I don't think that's what we're saying.
And a big shout-out to our regional listeners.
You
he's joking, everyone.
I'm joking. You know how we're going to help?
How?
We're going to adopt a friggin' cow.
We are. We're going to chat to...
That's what we're going to do. We're going to adopt it and name it.
That sounds like fun. Sorry to go from cows to this subject matter. Mystery poopers. It's a real... Well, you know, when I was growing up, my girlfriends and I, there was a mystery pooper. I'll explain more about that. But it's something
pooper.
That's gone, yeah. I've known a mystery
pooper. Like
I've never known who it was. But it's been a spate
like
of
like a Zorro type figure that just takes a dump.
And it's really repulsive, but we're going to talk about that. Mitcoin, mate, how are we going with
Mitcoin? Wait till
how
Scott,
was the budget affected your coin?
Hear what Scotty Pape has to say about Mitcoin.
I bet.
Do you know what? Sell everything.
I might seriously buy it
now. Put it all into Bitcoin. It's the only stable currency in the world right now.
There's
going to be
update.
Another effing royal wedding update. You may, if we have time,
alert
something. You've been fascinated by this in the office for days.
I won't say too much. Something that's got 40 million views in 4 days.
So
I'm going to tell you all about.
We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We'll do all that. And it'll all be bundled into the one big show, which is Kennedy Molloy. Happy
it's
to
Wednesday.
Be here.
Wednesday, is it? Sorry, I'm just thinking out loud. Wednesday. That's when budgets always come down, isn't it?
Well, it's Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, Wednesday's the day you talk about.
Sure.
What's your beef with Wednesday?
I've got no beef. Wednesday is a hump day. I feel like it is.
We're halfway in there. We're halfway out.
But it's good.
We don't have our producer today, Sam.
We wish him well.
I want to see a doctor.
He says he's sick.
You know, he's embarrassed.
Why?
After his revelation on yesterday's program.
Well, that was embarrassing.
That he sits down to do a wee so he can check his phone.
Come on. Yeah. Honestly, he was so happy to admit that.
That's some sort of man rule violation.
That's a man rule violation.
And fascinated me because I did not know men still do that occasionally.
Well.
But I don't want to go into that anymore.
You'll never see me squatting on the chamber pot.
What have you been doing today?
Whitney's filling in. Obviously, as a woman, we don't pay her as much, but she's doing a pretty pretty good job.
She has let us down a little bit.
Made two mistakes so far.
She has let us down.
We usually have a rundown in colour. Was this black and white caper? Are you trying to say print colour? Are you trying to suck up to the bosses?
Do you think it was a bit much for me to scrunch it up in a ball and throw it at her?
It did happen.
You've got to keep her on her toes.
What's wrong with you today?
Something
looks not quite right.
What do you mean not quite right? Oh, don't tell me that.
I've had a haircut.
Something's
your hair, that's right. It doesn't look as mousy as usual.
Does it look even?
That's great.
Wouldn't it?
Thank you.
Why?
Oh, I hope my hairdresser's not listening. Oh, I'll cut it myself.
I know the budget's kicking in.
No,
but
it's not
cutting
being frugal.
Your own hair.
Wanted it done that second, so I just put it in a ponytail, and you just get the ponytail like a top knot, and you just look in the mirror, you get a pair of scissors, and you just go doink.
Is it straight?
I don't know.
Right.
You tell me.
Oh, wow. So, you know, that's how that used to be a slang term to describe someone who's really stingy.
Really?
That guy's so mean, he cuts his own hair.
Oh, yeah.
That bloke wouldn't give you a wave if he owned the ocean.
That's not me. I'm very generous.
Jeez.
I just give cash to everyone who walks past. I gave money to a woman in the supermarket the other day.
Well, the cashier?
No. One behind me. She said, "Can you lend me some money, love? I haven't got enough." And I went, "Yeah, sure."
What was she buying?
She was buying a kilo of rice. No, a kilo of rice, four mandarins, and some tuna.
Yeah,
and I went, oh,
she started loading up on all the impulse buys once Kennedy got the wallet out.
And what have you been
doing? Did she say she'd pay you back or?
She wasn't in a really good state to do that.
It's that pay it forward thing, isn't it?
It's a pay it forward thing. She gave me a big hug.
And you couldn't afford to pay hairdressers.
I can't afford it.
What's the moral to the story,
Jane? I'm impatient. I'm an impatient Gemini, and I needed my hair trimmed then and there, and I couldn't wait. I'll fix it up later.
Right. Well done, Edward.
What have you been doing?
I've been racing pigeons today.
What? That's fascinating. Seriously, have you been filming something for the front bar?
Well, maybe, yes, but I was out there with the racing pigeons and letting them go.
That's incredible.
Unbelievable.
I don't understand how that works.
Off they go.
Yeah?
Exactly where they're going. Go for days.
Then they come back. What do they do when they're gone?
I'd let them off into the power line. That's an ideal.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
All right, you dumbos. Get your pens and papers out and write this stuff down because you're about to get everything you need to know about the budget. This next bloke has been voted Australia's most trusted finance expert. Well,
is that beside
it's faint praise because there aren't many good ones. But he is the best in the business. He's been the money guy for Channel 7 and Triple M, currently on loan from Triple M's Hot Breakfast Melbourne. To us, we're very grateful.
Thank you.
And he writes two weekly national newspaper columns. He's he advised the AFL. You have, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
You've done that. NRL teams about money. Oh, they need all the advice they can get. And consults the Australian government on financial education in schools. He's written a bloody good book. What's
and
the book
called?
And
it's just hit a million sales, I hear.
Something like that. Barefoot Investor.
It's actually 2 million sales, but he's put it down as one. So
we should officially welcome him.
The Barefoot Investor. Welcome, Scott Pape.
Can I just say, guys, this is like my grand final day.
Here it is.
Budget day. It's the one day.
Is it
that
like Christmas? Like, do you not sleep the night before?
It is. You know, get my mates around. We have a bit of ginger beer, a little bit of trail mix, gluten free.
It's fantastic, awesome. Mate. Now, talk us up. In the old days, my favourite banner was just beers up, cigs up.
Yes.
And that was all pretty much the
correct
budget.
Can I just say, though, that we are in Australia, we go a little Hollywood for the budget.
We do.
Why is that?
Well, if you look at any other country, they'll come in on a Tuesday afternoon to Parliament and say, look, here's the budget. No,
here
it is. A toss, you know. But here... We lock everyone up. There's
have
a
you been in the lockup?
Have you
done the lockup? So is that like a sequestered jury or something?
I think, probably your most boring ever. it's like lining up for Vic Rhodes or something.
Is it literally for hours? You and all the journalists.
Terry McCran. Yeah. Everyone's
Koshy.
There.
You actually Koshy in there with
Koshy's
you?
There. Yeah. Koshy's there. You're not allowed to use your phones.
Yeah. So it's like a conclave.
Lay down your guns.
It's like a conclave at the Vatican.
You are locked down.
What about food? What do you nibble on?
You do get food. They're actually starting to charge now.
Drinks?
Which is
they're charging.
Come on.
Hey, I'm guessing you can write that off, can you? The food
of
that
course.
You get.
But you know, the problem is that they've leaked most of it anyway.
Yeah.
So really, this is political theatre. It really is, because most of the stuff we knew about, and I got to say, this budget was kind of boring. It really was.
Apart from ScoMo's entry when he came in to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the Federal Treasurer for this year's budget report, Scott Morrison.
He came.
Okay, so talk us through it. Boring good, though?
Boring is not bad. I mean, so as you said, the typical tabloid thing is booze up, smokes up.
Yep.
So we
What's
had
happened with that?
Craft brewers. So basically they were actually, the smaller kegs were being taxed at a higher rate than larger tax. So larger kegs. So they've equalised that, which is a little bit of a whistle to the hipsters, really.
Yeah.
Which is Labor
heartland, I would have thought.
Labor heartland.
This is a cynical political move, would you think?
But you don't believe they're going to put the prices
down? They're not. You've got, 380 or thereabouts of brewers. They're basically saying, look, we're not going to put our prices down.
I am a brewer. Brick Lane. Go out and get a Brick Lane. It's a boutique beer.
Oh, there you go. You got a free plug
cheaper.
In.
Are you going to put your prices down because of this generous
keg tax?
Never.
Somehow I don't, Scott, I don't think that Mick is somewhere in a factory brewing himself.
No.
I'm a master brewer.
Smokes.
Okay. You've mastered something.
We have, basically we have.
Smokes, what more can you do to cigarettes? I mean,
they're
honestly,
the most expensive in the world.
They are the most expensive
in
the world. And what we know about when you actually put up the taxes on something, there's a black market. So
Correct.
We've got the chop market.
Chop.
They now have the tobacco task force.
That's not what it's called, mate. You call it butt squad.
It's the
butt squad.
Our listeners are writing all this down because so this is very clear.
So there's like an Elliot Ness style figure out there with a hand-picked bunch of guys who are going around butt squad.
Shaking people down,
opening trucks.
So Chop Chop's in trouble.
$3.6 billion over the next four years.
Wow.
But, you know, I mean, I guess if we look at it, what we found was that the government is flush with cash, right? So that's nothing to do with the government, nothing to do with the politicians.
It's good economic global times.
Yeah, the global economy is increasing. We're seeing employment is low. Companies are making money. We've got a very big immigration policy that's coming through.
Okay.
All of these things mean that they're flush with cash. So what they did, obviously, you've read about in the newspaper, the $10 a week tax cut under about $90,000.
Yep.
ScoMo came out with this thing and he said, look, I'm going to get rid of the 37-cent tax rate, which to guys like me was just very exciting. Because effectively what that means is it's like a flat tax. So you'll earn between $40,000 and $200,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All those people will pay 32.5 cents in the dollar or less.
Okay.
So it's effectively a flat tax in 7 years.
Yeah.
Only problem is there is no way Scott Morrison will be the treasurer in 7 years. It ain't going to happen.
Oh, yeah. It's like fantasy land. Yeah. What about the top 1% like Jane? What will they be paying?
You know what? What would she be paying? I was waiting for you to say, do not. You are looking at Mick when you're talking about
32 cents. So once you get north of 200,
yes.
What are you going to
do? The government has basically said that if you re-elect us, we'll open it up to everybody else. But right now, there was nothing for higher income, traditional liberal.
A little bit of burly.
We're going to talk to you after this. We'll probably go to a song
Let's
now.
Take calls.
Is it a money song?
No, we're going to a break first, and we're going to come back with papers.
Can we take some calls, please? Yeah, give us a call, 123353.
There's a few other.
Ask your questions.
Yes,
we know our audience
is
a bunch of simpletons.
There's a few other taxes I want to talk about in this budget. One is a booking hotel tax, which is going to affect me and my family.
Yes.
Another one is an attack on drones. Apparently drones are going to be blasted. And we're going to get our own space agency in Australia.
Good.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Somehow I don't know how they're going to have the money.
There's also a fame tax, but that won't affect you.
We'll get to that too.
All right, your chance to talk to the Barefoot Investor, 133353.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
By the way, the Barefoot Investor, the only money guide you'll ever need, a huge publication selling out everywhere.
Get a million copies.
That.
Something
it's
like
nuts.
That.
Hey.
We've got one on our shelf. I pull it out. In fact, it's a good one to talk to your teenagers about.
Absolutely.
Yes. Really.
We've got him here to talk all things budget. We've got a few questions of our own. Let's go to the callers first. 133353 if you want to get involved. Taryn, what's your question for Scott?
Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Good.
That's good. I want to know what's in it for me. I'm a single person. I'm in my 40s. I pay a mortgage. I earn $80,000. I don't have a young family.
Mm-hmm.
What's in it for me? How am I going to benefit? Or where am I going to get kicked in the butt from this budget?
I think the first thing to understand is that really, the politicians are looking to win votes. They're not looking to help you out necessarily. But what I would say
is she in their target zone? Is it?
Yeah. Look, I mean, she'll get.
Is Taryn the type of voter that the Liberals would like? Does that get them across the line?
Well, I'm not sure, but I mean, Taryn will actually get somewhat of a tax cut, which is what they've announced. But then the other thing is that if you've been watching the Royal Commission, it's been pretty upsetting with these bozos of the taxing dead people and all the rest of it. So, Taryn, my view would be one of the things that didn't get a lot of press was that they've actually banned exit fees on your super fund. So if you think you are being legged by AMP or the big banks or one of the industry funds.
Okay, well, that's a big one.
Wave the check, go. You're not going to be hit with exit fees, which I think is a really, really good thing. And again, you can look to the government to try and solve your problems with these things, but you know, I think they've got enough problems themselves.
Scotty, you're big on shopping around. Get competitive rates on electricity, gas, all that. People are doing that, things like that.
You know, and I also, you know, obviously with super, it's going to be your second biggest asset, and the less they take, the more you make.
Really. Good stuff.
Thank you, Taryn, for calling through. Patrick.
Hi. G'day, Jane. Mickey.
G'day.
Hey.
How you going?
Good. Question.
Scott, how are you?
Very well.
The high income earners have gotten left out, and I guess it just goes against the grain a bit, given that we pour most of the tax from a numbers perspective back to the economy. And we get looked sort of sideways glance, but get nothing out of this. So, I mean, it doesn't give you much incentive. You're a staunch sort of Liberal supporter.
Yep.
And you look towards them to sort of look after the guys that are paying an upward of 100K per annum in income tax, and then you get 5/8 of nothing coming out the other end.
ScoMo is making the point that high-income earners are the heavy lifters in terms of the tax burden in this country.
Yeah, of course.
It's a election year, though, isn't it? Identifying high-income earners don't get much during an election year, but immediately after, if Liberals get back in, they'll be making it rain for that topic again.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. The thing, I guess, that the Liberals did, they looked at it and said, we've got to do something with lower income earners because there hasn't been a lot of wage growth. It has been really tough, but I think that where they're going to see the wedge is that you've got Bill Shorten looking to really attack refunding of franking credits, and he's got a lot of people, a lot of retirees upset. As long as ScoMo or Slow-Mo doesn't actually change that, he's like, well, I've got that one ticked off, and they're going to vote for me anyway.
Yeah, right.
And if he stays there, that's what we want to
see if
that will happen.
Yes.
All right, Tony, you've got a question that's quite fascinating, and I'm wondering if AP has got the answer to this.
Yeah, my question is, I mean, you mentioned that the government is flush with money.
Yeah.
Yes.
And my question would be, how come the flush of money if the country's $6.6 trillion in debt?
It's a good point. Why aren't we paying off the debt? They came when the Labor was in power, they went, the debt is crippling, it must be addressed. Yes. They've got in.
It was a disaster.
They're flushed up.
I was under the table. It was so scary.
Oh, I know. It was frightening. It was like a boogie monster.
We don't talk about that anymore. Look, I mean, I think basically it is an election year, and they do have to give, they want to be re-elected, so they're giving away some tax cuts. Pork barreling, that's certainly right. But, you know, I think that the really main thing there to think about is that in Australia it is – it's not the government that has the huge amount of debt. It's the people.
It's people.
It's the households. Right. We have some of the highest rates of household debt in the world. And that's why I don't mind this boring budget, because if they gee the economy up too much, we see interest rates go up, and that could be a real problem.
So, people, maybe just steady on your Uber Eats delivery, because that can stack up. I'll tell you what, one day you're looking at your credit card bill and hello.
And kids, not so much avocado on toast.
There you go. Also,
We've got time for one question from you, Jane. Choose it wisely.
Choose it wisely. All right. Now, this one, well, there's one on good-looking people, and it does probably affect me.
You're a real man of the people, aren't you?
Here we go.
Fished through the entire document and found out something.
Well, celebrities possibly are going to be hit with a fame tax in the budget. Their image that they use, and they're using people's images like Carrie Bickmore, Shane Warne, and Rebecca Judd here, who advertise products and their face is their product, that there's going to be some bizarre tax that they might be hit with, or is it their real tax that should be paid all along?
I don't think it's a bizarre tax.
What's going on?
Hang on, you're good looking, being taxed more. You not so much.
I don't know. Who's sitting on
that panel?
I guess the idea is what they're basically saying is that celebrities can license the rights to their image and likeness.
Yes.
And effectively what you can do, if you're going to do that, you're going to assign it to a company or a trust, so therefore you might pay less tax.
Yes.
And what they've said in the budget is not going to happen anymore. Being a little bit ambiguous. So there'll be a lot of stubby fingered accountants just saying, hang on, what are we doing?
Watching a lot of TV ads.
Take down all our billboards. Thanks, Scott. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, guys.
You are
excellent
great.
Work.
The Barefoot Investor, the only money guide you'll ever need. Seriously, that's
honestly,
what you'll
it's
do.
The best.
That's what we should have said to Taryn. Go and get your book. That's the best thing she can do. Start with that.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
We reluctantly do this. I'm sorry, everyone. Let's go.
Ugh, another f***ing royal wedding update.
Every day, Mick, he goes, is there any more flipping royal stars? I don't think so. Oh, God. No, I've got five.
There's five a day.
Yes.
There's five a day at least. There was two docos on telly last night,
there
by
was.
The way. There's one on the ABC and one on Nine. It was hard to miss. Jeez. Navigation.
I don't know who would have watched the Camilla one, though. But anyway, some people did. All right. The royal wedding could ground Heathrow flights.
This is unbelievable.
Wow.
Because
this is hilarious.
Well, authorities at Heathrow are weighing up whether they've got to divert planes at busy Heathrow Airport so the roar of the engines doesn't disrupt the wedding vows.
Yeah. That's good. How about flying one straight into the chapel?
I think you might have to be very careful. And, that wouldn't be fun.
That'd be
no, because I'm looking forward to the actual wedding day, but you can't stop people flying around, can you?
The world doesn't stop.
Come on.
Correct.
Maybe the, all planes are grounded at Heathrow or have to fly. So there's a no-fly area, which is usually for terrorist countries or for war zones, but we'll put a no-fly zone over
well,
Windsor.
What about media helicopters? They'll have to be...
Yeah.
Not drones?
Oh, mate, drones. Do you know what you do?
Unless you have a drone in the front door.
See what you
the
can.
Church.
See if you can annoy them. We had an orange.
Oh, you don't encourage
we
this.
We had an orange pop up when we were kids, and you put an orange in it, and it was a pipe, and it was basically a bazooka. And we could hit things from 2 km away with an orange. Get out there with the, get an orange poppers out and
orange
rat a tat tat.
I'm surprised you're alive, to be honest, about what you went through in your childhood. All right. Dunkin' Donuts is releasing a special heart-shaped donut to celebrate the... Well, that's something you're happy about.
Well,
that's
say,
not that
say
hard,
there's a little
it?
Silver lining for Fergie. She didn't get invited. What do you mean a heart-shaped donut? That ceases to be a donut.
Well, go with the flow.
No, I'm not going with the flow.
Well, do
you
it.
You can't have a donut that's shaped like a heart.
Well, there is.
It's no
so
longer a donut.
It.
Well, it's just in the planning
it's
restrictions.
It's a heart nut.
It's a heart nut. We'll call it a heart nut. Say there's a
all right.
Dunkin' Donuts have released a heart
you
nut.
You call Dunkin' Donuts then.
Oh,
tell them.
I've got them on speed dial. They're on the line now.
I'll tell you who looks like he's got them on speed dial. Meghan Markle's father.
Oh, how dare you.
Well, Meghan Markle.
Meghan Markle. He's pretty portly. I think he lives
in
Mexico.
Chubby guy, is he?
And I think he's been hoeing into the churros.
Or
the tacos.
Why?
Well, he's just been, you know, he's going to the wedding and he needs a morning suit.
Right.
And I presume it's not a suit that he has lying around the back of his wardrobe.
Have one handy.
So,
Describe the morning suit for people who don't know.
It's a grey three piece.
So it's grey three piece with a big top hat.
Yes. The top hat you don't have to wear.
Has a cummerbund?
Has a cummerbund. It's usually in grey, dark grey. And it can be a bit silky, the vest.
It doesn't make it sound sexy.
I was rubbing myself.
Yeah, you were. Hanging up and down on your chair thinking about a morning suit and a cummerbund.
Can I tell you?
Who looks good in a morning suit?
No one. No one. In fact, it makes me want to
vomit. You look like the banker in Monopoly. Is that the case?
Did Hugh Grant wear a morning suit in any of Four Weddings and Funeral? Because then I'd be swayed.
I think he did when he was engaged in a sex act on Rodeo Drive.
All right, I'm going to move from the Divine Brown sex act to Meghan Markle's father.
Glory.
Anyway, he's...
Where's he?
He's been near his home and he's gone to what looks like some back street in Mexico, and someone from the royal family's flown out to take his measurements, allegedly, so he can walk his daughter down
the aisle.
Do
you know what he should be doing if he lives in Mexico? I'll be going to the House of El Chapo. That is the greatest fashion style I have ever seen.
You could pull that look
I
off.
I could get it at the El Chapo.
You could do it right now.
Might get a little El Chapo moustache going.
Yes. I think so. All right, so that's that.
Lose a bit of weight for the role.
Here's terrible news for people in the US to do with the royal wedding, especially if you're a man and you're planning to go to the cinema on May the 19th.
What?
They're closing down a whole bunch of cinemas. They're just playing the royal wedding at the cinemas. Screening from 10 a.m. local time.
God.
And it goes for
hours
in a multiplex all over the US.
I've never said this before.
What?
I think I would rather see Eat, Pray, Love. Are you telling me that screening all around, you can get a choc top, large popcorn.
Sit down for about 8 hours. That's how long it'll take, you know.
Cinema 1, Affinity, Avengers, Cinema 2, like
Royal Wedding. Isn't that awesome? And just I've got another...
If you see a guy in there, he's been dragged along. You know that as a fact.
Or he's exuberant and likes weddings.
What's exuberant mean? Is that a euphemism for...
Yes, it's a euphemism. I've got one more. You know, we're talking about morning
suits.
Yes. How dumb is this? The cast of Suits who work with Meghan Markle, the show she used to be in.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of them going, and they're all Canadian cast.
Sure.
They're all going. They don't know what to wear. So the wardrobe people from Suits is going to dress them. Because they go, oh, my God, what's a morning suit? I don't know what I wear the day in the, to a wedding. What
so
do
they
I
don't
do?
Know, and they're letting the wardrobe guy.
The wardrobe person is going to dress them.
That wardrobe guy could play the greatest practical joke in history. And make them all wear pantaloons. No, you need pantaloons, slippers,
and big
pantyhose.
Bright cummerbund.
And a horsehair wig.
Oh, yes. Oh, the horsehair wig.
Off you go.
Done.
Are we done?
Yes.
That's it.
Thank you.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We come across interesting stories around
this
great country, don't we, Mick? One caught our eye today.
And by the way, Jane, I want to say the most interesting part of this country by a mile is regional.
It really
Australia. I love it. I've had the privilege of touring and travelling and seeing a lot of it, but populated by decent, hardworking people who would give you the shirt off their own back.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, from time to time, given the vagaries of this country and its climate, it can go pear-shaped.
And we reckon it's time that people are happy to pay it forward. Yeah. We've got a bloke on the line now, it's John Fairley. G'day, John.
Hello, Jane. How are you?
Great to talk to you.
Good.
John, we came across your story in the paper today and we found it really fascinating, and also you're probably not on your Pat Malone here, but can you set up your story for us and your dairy?
Yeah, I've got a dairy down at Picton.
So the southwest of Sydney, yep.
Yep, and we are so dry, we've had to feed cattle since July last year, all off the back of a truck. Water holes are drying up everywhere, dams are drying up, and it's just become a real, in the last couple of weeks, really came to the realisation that I'm not going to have any feed until springtime.
And it's not going to get the cows fed through to September, and it's come to, you know, it's really dire circumstances, yes?
Oh, it is. You know, we've been feeding them for so long anyway. And you know,
how many you got, John?
We milk 100 every day.
Yep.
Been in the family for a long time?
Yeah, we've been on this land since 1854.
Oh, mate.
Wow.
I'm sixth generation and my son's here on the seventh gen.
There you go. So what's the...
You've come up with an interesting idea, which is really appeals to us.
We like this idea a lot.
And
talk
we think it'll clear to a lot of other people.
I came up with the idea probably through Kramer, how he adopted the road that time.
Oh, that's from Seinfeld, yeah. We like it so far.
So I thought, if I adopted my cows out and everyone who helped donate to me, and they would get a certificate with a picture of their cow and they could name their own cow.
Oh, this is gold.
And, certain levels of finance and as whatever they donate, and it has gone really, really well.
So there's a level of interest? Have you shifted a few cows? Is there a few proud owners?
Yeah, I think they're all taken now. We've moved on to the calves.
Well,
because we here at Kennedy Malloy are interested in purchasing one of your cows.
That's right. Or at least adopting and looking after.
Adopting
one of your cows, because we still know they've got to be milked.
Yeah. But we need to name it ourselves, of course.
You know, you got to milk it before you go to work.
Well, Mick's very keen to do that. He was happy to help out.
a bit early for me, John. Maybe as I'm coming home, I could swing by. What are some of the names that people have come up with for their cows?
Oh, everyone's been really boring, actually. You know, Millie and Molly and Betty.
Could I call one Maddie Preston? What about the Senator? Here comes the Senator. That's a big guy.
I was thinking Stormy. We could
Stormy
have one
from
after.
Stormy Daniels.
Stormy Daniels.
The Galloping Gasometer. Plugger.
Plugger. Exactly. Who do you barrack for?
Hey, what about Big Mooey?
Big Mooey.
Look out, here comes Big Mooey.
Anything but your mother-in-law's name. That'd be fine.
Well, that's very wise advice. Now, if people...
Beefy?
Yeah. Oh, Beefy. I like that one.
Beefy? What about Big Fatty Boomba? I'm thinking aloud at the moment.
Do you think they'd get offended?
No.
Okay, John, so can people still help you or are you fully subscribed?
What we've got is... We've still got the calves and all the dry cows and some of the dairy herd. The response has just been magnificent.
Yeah, that's great.
That's great to hear.
You don't need our help. What if be careful, because if you don't give me one, I'll just rustle them.
We've got cameras up here everywhere.
Yeah, and I think also Mick has, I don't know, it's probably spread to Picton, the Mick coin as a new currency.
I can give you a Mick coin for one.
He might be able to give one of those. Look, we'll keep in touch. Let us know
how
you
go.
Well
done, John. That's a happy ending. And well done, Australia. I'm glad we read that story in the Daily Telegraph.
We loved
it. Everyone's obviously jumped to attention. It's a good Aussie story with a happy outcome.
And he on Facebook or something so people can follow it up and have a look?
Look for Country Valley on Facebook, and all the links, all the posts there is to help you
Good on you.
Your cow.
All right,
John. Well, it's clearly past your bedtime, so good, mate. Get up early in the morning. Good on you, big fella.
See ya.
On you. Bye.
Bye.
That's John Fairley from Country Valley Farms. Countryvalley.com.au for more information.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Now, we were just talking to John, the dairy farmer, about naming some cattle. We've got a caller on the line now.
Bronwyn.
G'day, how you going?
Good, Bronwyn. What was your suggestion to name one of John's cows who needs adopting?
Well, I was thinking there's a sportsman, Fooey Fooey Moi Moi.
Yes.
So we just make it Mooey Mooey Foy Foy.
Oh, yeah. Prize coming your way. Bronwyn gets a prize. Kennedy Malloy prize back to you.
That's what we love from our listeners.
Wonderful. Good stuff. Good contribution, Bronwyn.
Bronwyn.
I like it a lot.
Thank you so much.
We've got Hamish Blake, as you said, coming up just before we go to the news.
Be a good name for a cow. Hamish.
Hamish.
Hamish sounds kind of...
Sort of Scottish kind of beef or something.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Going around
with
viral.
With a beard. It'll be a cow with a beard. Well-manicured beard.
Isn't that funny? That's how now we know him, as bearded Hamish. Going around, well, I saw it about 3 days ago. It's actually gone nuts. There's been 40 million views of a particular music video. Are you familiar with the work of Childish Gambino?
Well, you know I am, because you showed me this.
I did, yes.
And I'll let you run. This is very of interest to you and has been for a few days.
It has. Dave has also
I saw it as well.
I'm going to play you a little bit of the song, the clip. Let's have a listen. This is America. Don't catch you slipping, no. Don't catch you slipping, no. Look what I'm whipping, no. Okay, that's it's performed by, it's called Childish Gambino, but it's Donald Glover, who is the actor, musician, comedian. He's done the series Atlanta. He's also on
Community.
Community. Yeah. You would know him from.
Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino is his rapper DJ name, right? And he's made this clip, and I literally went to look at it first because I follow Adele on Instagram, not like she's a friend of mine. But this is a bit of a convoluted way of telling
Adele.
We all follow Adele, of course. But it was her 30th birthday, and she had a big Titanic theme, and she put photos. And at the end of her speech about her 30th birthday, she said, by the way, you got to check this out. And it really caught my attention. She said, P.S. Childish Gambino, how the hell do you have the time to offer us so much greatness on so many platforms? I adore you.
Okay.
So
you need to explain now why people are...
I checked
it
out.
Important?
It's a... basically, Donald dancing to this clip. Around him is the story, basically, of black violence. It's a very confronting clip. It involves joyous dancing and horrendous assassinations. That's the best way I can describe
it. Gave me goosebumps.
And it's bringing to the attention off the back of
Black Lives
Matter.
Moments of extreme violence, which is very effective.
Well, police brutality as well, civil rights. It's really one of those extraordinary things that catches your eye. Go and check it out now. It's Childish
it's worth
Gambino.
A look. It worth is
a look.
A look.
And it's called This Is America.
It's a conversation starter, I think, too. It has provoked a lot of response.
It's a good song, too.
Definitely had. Yeah, I like the song. I like it. It's a bit different. So there you go.
I'd like to see some of that dancing on Dancing with the Stars. I think it's a really
I'm not sure they're going to do what they do in this clip in Dancing with the Stars. Hey, we'll talk to Hamish Blake. He might have seen it.
What happened to the good old days, like Wake Me Up Before You Go?
I know.
Just a couple of guys in hot
Video killed the radio star.
Just mucking around.
Haircut 100.
You know, some big woolly jumpers with your braces.
The Go-Go's.
And now what have we come to? All right, when we come back, Hamish Blake.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
And the promise of this hour is enormous at this stage. So much to talk about, so much to do. We're going to take all your calls, all your tweets. Give us a call. Join the conversation. Get involved. Pull your weight.
Well,
get the finger out.
You might know a mystery pooper.
Oh.
Do you? I know
there
a mystery pooper.
There could be one in this room.
Don't look
as we speak.
Mystery, Dave.
I've got stories. I've got three mystery poopers.
Your track record is well documented.
I've got one. The
Invercargill.
Our next guest might know a bit about the Invercargill.
It's the worst.
Oh, the brown bomber.
The brown bomber.
Stand by, listeners.
He's
Stand
on.
By.
Hang him out for that.
Hey, Mick Coyne, what's happening with your coin,
what
mate?
What isn't happening?
On
post-budget,
budget,
it's gone berserk. Everyone's trying to tip them in. I think the H&A coin's gone down post-budget.
Oh. We'll talk about that. Just,
we'll talk about that.
Oh, I'm going to buy in.
Buy what?
Buy into more
with
Bitcoin. Because I've got nothing so far.
You've
I've never got it.
You get my pleasure for dinner.
Well, I still have to do that?
You do.
Okay.
Hey, all that and much more, but less. Done. You've already heard his dulcet tones. Let's say hello to Hamish Blake.
Mickey, J-Man. How are we? Mate.
Good, Hamish.
Was
how
the budget
you?
For you any good? What, you bored through it?
I've, don't spoil it. I've Foxtel IQ'd it. I want to go through it tonight. Get out the ads.
All right.
They're going to do a space station. They're going to give, listen, $125 million
to a space station.
To our to Australia space station.
What's the station?
Good luck with that.
Like I mean, it buys like that's the paint. That's the paint job.
Correct.
But like that'll get you. I'm always amazed. The one thing that the budget does. I mean, I didn't come on to talk about the budget. No one's surprised there. But I'm always amazed about how much roads and trains cost. When they come out and they go, look, we've got $25 billion for this train. You just go. It just seems so round. The number, like they don't. Because if it was, if it's $2 million less, that's a good saving. But it just doesn't seem like they. It just seems like they put big round numbers aside.
They do like to pump those numbers up.
And then it's like when you see
it's a little speculative.
Who uses public transport?
Yeah. But the other thing is, like I know
what
everyone.
Do you mean?
There should be. You know how when you win Test Lotto, this is again. Sorry, not what I came on for, but they go. You can take $2 million now. Oh, they say you win $2 million. Yeah, they go, we'll give you. You can have $200,000 for 10 years, or you can have 1.8 now. You know, they give you
the option.
They give you the option, and you're always like, take it now. Like, take everything.
Take
now.
It. Everything will change.
Even though it's less, like you want the thrill of getting it. You know, they're like, oh, everyone's got $510 more now.
Yeah, no.
They should if they offered, or because that's like $10 a week, or $300 now.
Yeah,
you take now.
$300.
You take now.
When you win anything, that's the most fun you have spending money. So if you win,
that's money for jam.
If you win $200 at a racetrack, that's different from working hard for $200.
Correct.
You are going to go and pretty much spend that $200 in a fashion that you otherwise would not do.
It's like so when you see the stuff in the paper, what you get, you get excited, and then you forget. I'm not going to open up the mail and get a check for that $510 or whatever. It's going to be. Slowly drip fed in a way that I'll never notice.
Correct.
So it kind of isn't. It's kind of annoying. Let's you down.
Fun in that.
Well, yeah, what about when we got that bonus? Remember when we got the budget?
The baby bonus.
Yeah. No, not the baby bonus.
I spent
like
that on
the GFC bonus.
Yeah, the GFC bonus.
Yeah.
Everyone got $1,400. Like we want more of those. I reckon we'd all forego tax cuts if we could have one of those every 5 years.
See your kids.
You know, sorry, I just incorrectly said that we were getting $126 million to establish our very own space agency. It's actually not $126 million. It's just $26 million. Worse than that.
It's got to be a good
That's embarrassing.
It's not going to be very far out. It's going to be just in the first duck
Well, that's the thing. If it's an inner city Sydney space agency, it's going to be like a nice 3-bedroom home.
That's
all we've got.
It's a little carport.
Look out, Elon Musk.
It'll be like a helipad.
God.
I'll tell you, here's the biggest news for me at the moment.
What?
Sonny's birthday tomorrow.
Your boy. Ooh,
big
wow. Fourth.
The big 04.
Four's a great age.
A little different to the big 40. The big 04
tomorrow. Is he maturing? Is he getting a bit world-weary?
Tell me if you think I've gone too far here with what I've organised.
Yes.
Are you doing a celebrity kids party? Please do. Come on, I need to see this on Instagram.
Acoustic station.
Well, I reckon I could get would be Emma Wiggle, but he's just grown out of the Wiggles.
Oh, damn it.
Because that would be like... 6 months ago, that would have been a huge get. But he's so flippant.
That window closes quickly.
It does.
We've got him at Ghostbusters, the Ecto-1 car, right? I was worried buying it 2 weeks ago that it would still be relevant.
He's fickle. He keeps
He loves
Ghostbusters
Batman.
Has been going on for some time. Yeah.
He's been loving Ghostbusters. He loves Batman. And so here's the thing. You know, same as you, Mickey, at night I'll tell him a story.
Yep.
And I'm often just clutching at straws. Like, they're pretty sloppily made up.
Yes.
And I often just drag Batman in because he's an easy cameo. He's an easy cameo. He's an easy cameo. And I'm always looking for a way to wrap the story up too. And usually the end of the story is, and then Batman saw his friend, Sonny Blake, in the crowd and he bent down and he gave him a Bat-Gadget. And that usually is like Sonny's cheering, he's going to bed. He loves it.
Great story, Dad.
Yeah, lately though, he goes, that's just in the story though, isn't it? And I go, what do you mean? And he goes, I'll never meet the real Batman. And I go, well, you never know. You might. He goes, no.
Oh, no.
I only meet Batman in stories. I never meet him for real. So then you're at a common crossroad as a parent where you go, well, do I tell him here, hey, mate, bad luck. No. Tough titties, you'll never meet him.
You're going to escalate
or,
this.
What I've done, what I've got happening tomorrow is I've been talking it up that Batman's going to send him a present for his birthday.
Okay.
I've got him a utility belt.
Yeah.
But I've taken one of, so it's got like five Bat-Gadgets on it. Mm. he's going to unwrap it. I'm going to go, oh, no, there's a back gadget missing. I then text Andy, who's going to be outside in the alley.
As Batman.
And I've told Andy, he knows your voice, mate. He knows who you are, obviously. Yeah, so... No talking. Just limited talking, but I want the, like, I want the...
In a Batman voice.
Yeah, I want the Will Arnett voice.
Thank you.
So I want him to just turn up and just go, sorry, I left the back gadget off, right? Bend down, give it to him, and then go, I've got to go, because it's daytime, and he knows Batman only comes out at night. And then go. So that's... I've rolled the dice on this because if he falls for it, he'll think I've met Batman.
Okay.
But if and not, otherwise, if he'll not, go, why is Andy dressed is up as there, Batman?
Was that Andy? No, you both had very good cheekbones. So I think you've got the wrong guy.
Is there any way I could throw my hat in the ring as Robin? Can I please?
I thought you were going to say the Penguin. In which case, I'm interested.
All right. Hang about, Hamish. Well, we're not done with you yet.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Kennedy Malloy. Hamish Blake in studio as well.
I hope Andy's listening to this.
Is he getting into character? What's he doing?
So. You know what I've told him? So for people just tuning in, tomorrow's my little boy's fourth birthday. I've got Andy, my partner in crime, coming to the house, creeping up to the house. I've deliberately taken a piece of Sonny, one of Sonny's presents.
Yep.
So that we'll open it. Oh, no, it's missing. Wow. It's missing the back gadget. Batman himself will deliver the back gadget. The directions are keep the dialogue to a minimum. He knows your voice.
Yeah,
he knows you.
I
but just
it up.
Yeah. And don't let him follow you because one of my worries is I feel like I'm planning a candid camera show.
That's
you
know, right.
You think about all the contingencies of what the victim might do.
Are you
do.
Putting out a bat signal at all? How are you contacting Batman?
Oh, it's going to be text. Don't worry about that.
Batman. I'm worried about the quality of
He's advanced now. We can't just stick to a bloody light in the sky. If I may, Batman, it seemed like a shonky system.
That has stood the test of time. Don't you dare.
Is it the 66 Batman?
I've told Andy.
Give Batman a beeper.
Not a bad idea. He's a billionaire. Is he spending a whole day at the window looking
he's
at the
a
sky?
Billionaire.
Let him walk around the mansion and enjoy it. Give him a beeper.
I'm worried about the quality of the costume.
I've already picked it up. Looks great.
Really?
Better than I expected. But what I will tell Andy to do, I'll remind him, I told him this last week, is I want the black makeup around his eyes. Because I think that, for me, when someone dresses up as Batman, that's the giveaway. If you blink and you've got pink eyelids, it shows you're too hasty to get into the outfit.
Maybe the Christian Bale Batman. That's
crack it like Christian Bale.
Crack his back?
No, crack it.
Oh,
sorry,
set.
Christian Bale. When you do the old walking through set. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you meant the actual.
So have you coached him? Have you had him around for drama class? Have you?
I trust him. I trust him with the role. But I do want him.
I think he'll be all right.
If Sonny tries to follow him, because we live up an alley. Sonny tries to follow him down the alley.
You'll see his car.
Oh, you'd be like, because Sonny might want to see the Batmobile.
Of course.
And Andy's driving a hire car at the moment. So I'm like, don't jump into it. Whatever, he's like a silver Hyundai Tucson or something. It's
gonna... We need to paint that car. We need to do so. We need to put some fingers on
Batmobile.
Because I know Ando's going to, like, he'll probably make a quick getaway and I'm predicting a run down the alley and I'll be like, no, Sonny, wait, you know, don't go near the blast of the jet.
Oh, yeah.
And I just know Ando's going to jump in his car because, you know, we're pretty close to you two, Mick. We only live about 400 metres from each other. But he's not going to walk the streets, I don't think, as Batman. And I think he's going to jump in the car and I hope he gets his cape caught in the storm. Flapping through the back streets.
I'm loving all your planning, but you also said you've got a cake happening. What's going on there?
This is big. So this is for Saturday. Yeah.
Have you got a committee at work on this? Are you getting a grant from the government?
I enjoy it.
I love this.
Yeah. You've got spare time on your hands, right?
Well, basically, I'm growing a beard and making a cake. And those are the two things I've achieved by mid-May.
Pardon me, you're making the cake.
Yes, I am. I'm making.
You did pause before you.
Oh, there's some contention in the house. I'm buying the slabs of cake, but I'll be assembling it.
Well,
all
there's construction.
Assembly's allowed.
That's making. I mean,
definitely.
Does it build a?
I guess he's released a cookbook since since the tone in her voice.
Oh. Does it build a fire his own bricks? He doesn't. He buys bricks.
A little haughty, right. Sure.
I'm buying. Yes. So there's a few people having a go at me saying I'm not really making. I'm building a cake. Yeah.
Okay.
I am making this.
You're
cake.
Making the cake.
It's Slimer from Ghostbusters. We all remember him, blob of a ghost.
Was he the one with the cigars?
I think he loved pizza.
Is this recipe in one of the Australian Women's Weekly Children's Birthday Cake Cookbooks?
It could be.
No, it is a week on MasterChef. I believe this year they're going to do this.
Kids' birthday cakes.
I'd love to see someone have a crack at this because I made a cake last year. I made the semi-trailer from the Disney film Cars. I made Mac and the trailer opened at the back and then there was a little
light. Of course he did.
What was in there?
And it was an edible hinge on the trailer.
You have a lot of downtime at the moment, don't you, Homer?
I have almost no uptime. So I'm going again. I'm going again with the cake has to have a trick to it. So what I'm doing is I'm building a pipe through the back of from Slimer from the nape of his neck. The pipe goes through his head, comes out in his mouth, and I've got one of those high pressure cream dispensers I can jam in the back of his head, and I'm making a green creme fraiche that's able to squirt out his mouth.
Will it slime him?
You're going to
slime Sonny?
The idea is all the kids line up with their plates and Slimer spews slime onto their thing. Awesome. Then you come around again and I cut up the cake. Now that's the plan.
And then Andy runs in as Batman and throws himself on top of the cake.
I'm not paying you for 2 days. I've already paid you for Thursday morning.
And did you just say the words creme fraiche on our network?
I was hoping you would get a raised eyebrow from Jane.
What's creme fraiche?
It's a very posh cream.
Yeah, posh
with a slight sourness.
How's the beard going? You've trimmed this recently.
Beard fresh?
There's a bit of management going on here.
You do eventually have to shape it a little. I don't want to brag, but Maxie Gorn recently wrote on my Instagram, beard goals. Beard goals. When Max Gorn says beard goals, you'll take that.
Now, Hamish, you are
best beard in Australia.
You're like Maxie Gorn's little brother. Quite as sporty.
I would be honoured to be in the dojo if he was the sensei, the beard sensei, even just to be up the back.
Good man.
And you're a self-groomer. That's what we like to see too. I'm a self-haircutter. I cut my hair.
You cut her own hair today.
This afternoon.
You couldn't tell.
It looks gorgeous, Jana.
Thank you very much.
I mean, it's a blunt end, but...
Sure. They were very sharp scissors. Actually,
Steve's
on
the phone. Steve's on the phone. Hello, Steve. Wants to enter the conversation. Yes, mate.
What do you got, Steve?
Hey, guys. Out at Spring Farm about 2-3 months ago, I saw a legit replica Batmobile car. One of the old school sort of 70s ones.
Andy.
We've got to get this down.
Sounds good. How many miles on the odometer?
If you just Google Batmobile in Sydney, there's heaps of photos of them.
Awesome, let's do that.
There was one driving around, and I reckon it was a uni student, so I was too young to realise this. Mm. When I was about 10, there was one driving around my neighbourhood, which was just like a hand-painted Commodore with a yellow bat sign on the side.
Will the belt have shark repellent? The
belt's got shark repellent. It's got a motion detector.
All right.
Wow. Hamish, this is a high-end back gadget.
Will you stay around because we've got a segment coming up.
You have to be involved in it.
And I have a feeling you should be involved. And it's about secret poopers.
Yeah.
People who go around and, you know, drop one.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favourites.
Okay, thank you.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
It doesn't bring me a lot of joy to tell this story, but you guys aren't too disturbed about it.
I'm so excited you're doing this story because I saw this headline and I was in a rush and I couldn't read the story because I was like, I want this to be true, what's happened here, but it seems so incredible that I'm like, I bet it's a hoax. It's not going to be as good as this.
No, you don't need to be disappointed.
Yes.
It lives up to everything. On a daily basis, there has been poop appearing on a track in New Jersey at a school, at the Homdell High School track.
Yep. Human poop.
Every morning. Yep, human poop.
It bears mentioning.
And everyone's going, what's going on? They finally do a sting to catch who was doing it. Turns out...
I mean, that is... Sorry to Jane, I don't interrupt, but if you're getting human... If there's a recurring human poop happening, no one likes that. There's obviously health implications. And there's a grub. There's a grub amongst you. However, surely the silver lining is, after it happened 3 times, you'd all turn to each other and go, you know the good news is?
It's not.
This is sting-worthy.
This is sting-worthy.
We can do a sting here.
But put yourself in this position. Imagine if you were on that SWAT team, right? You know what? We could be going after, you know, the bombers, the terrorists,
yes.
Chapo.
No.
We're on poop patrol.
You've been requested for a code brown.
Well, you know, they all had theories of who it could be. They thought, is it a student who's pissed off with one of the teachers in the high school track or something like that? What's going on?
Yep.
No, they discovered it, in fact, was a school superintendent for another high school.
No kidding.
Well, now it makes sense.
Not kidding.
What?
And they don't know why.
So he wasn't the superintendent of that high school. He was like a neighbouring district or something?
Yes, he was a neighbouring high school superintendent.
I'm sure all of our listeners only know about superintendents in the American school system from Superintendent Chalmers from the Simpsons. And I'm led to believe that Principal Skinner works for him, but he also oversees many other principals.
That's right.
So it was someone from probably Shelbyville, superintendent was doing, it wasn't Chalmers.
He's gone across the road.
Gotcha.
He's parked a loaf. And this is incredible, incredible story.
The school has put him on paid leave while he's facing charges of lewdness.
What do you have to do for unpaid leave? So that involves?
Basically, it comes down to like 5 wees or one poo is fine. Yeah. Any combination of twos and ones together, we're going to have to give you unpaid leave.
It's not the first mystery.
He's on paid leave. Pooper. I hope he's on house detention. You'd be putting one of those electronic blank bracelets on him, wouldn't you?
Oh, mate, absolutely. And
he's out.
But this is not like a 19-year-old guy pulling the piss.
And why was he doing it at the neighbouring school?
Was it to frame
them? We don't know. He's 42.
It's a long-standing rivalry between the two schools, was it?
Listen, there could be a link because apparently he was seen doing a bit of a run around a track. Now, this leads me to my poop and scoop theory.
But was he running away or was he running to get the bowels moving?
No, just running, doing track work.
Listening up.
When you run, you want to do you want to poop. You know, was it Robert DiCostello? No, who wanted to desperately do a poop?
I mean, but that was in the marathon because his body was shutting down.
I know, but I think it's what
Jane. I mean, you lost control of your own segment here.
I mean, I ran for a train earlier this week, but I didn't get on and lay it.
No, because...
There's no feet on the seats.
It was bound to end a disaster, wasn't it?
Remember the woman last year who went for a run in the States. She was a jogger, and she stopped at the same place every single day for 2 months.
I mean, that's habitual.
Dropped her decks and did it. It's habitual.
30 days. To form a habit. That's her fault. But it doesn't, it's not causation. It's not causational.
But it was
like running doesn't make you.
I'm
poo.
Suggesting that it does.
It was on someone else's front yard, wasn't it?
Well, you should be his lawyer because, I mean, it's vaguely convincing.
I say it's physiological, although it
if
may happen.
If that was my yard, I would have put some newspaper down or something just to try and encourage.
If you're running around an ass track, go in the long jump pit. Like, I mean, okay. At least cats have the dignity to pick an area you can cover it up.
My theory,
and just before she did she do that little patty stamping motion that dogs do?
And stare at you. I can't do it while you're watching me. The governor would run around with a plastic bag after the superintendent.
Her husband was standing there trying to pick it up.
But she was in her active wear.
Hang on, was this?
She was caught in her active wear.
So this superintendent, male, female?
Male. Okay. So now there's another. It's not just jogging then. So my theory doesn't hold up.
Do you reckon he needed reading material?
No, with iPhones these days. Yeah. He's on Candy Crush. That's how he got caught. He was sitting there for 2.5 hours trying to beat Candy Crush.
Well, guys, there's a precedent. There was one in Invercargill.
No, this is my favourite. Invercargill.
This is a few years ago. I remember
called
this.
The Splash Palace Aquatic Centre.
He was a regular.
This was a regular every Friday on 6 consecutive Friday evenings.
That's gutsy.
In February, March this year.
Especially when you create a pattern. So you know he wanted to get caught.
But they did. The week he didn't turn up, they had every single person.
They had all the cameras,
there,
everything set up. So
which would make you think he's part of the team.
I
don't know if you've seen The Departed.
Inside Job.
Wonderful film. But someone, there was a Matt Damon in there. There was a mole. There
Spoiler
was a poop
alert.
Mole. Letting the brown bomber know we're watching.
I need to know about people's experiences with mystery pooping.
Oh, hey. What are you calling this open to calls?
I'm going to ask. I'm sure there's been mystery pooping experiences from people.
If you lived in Invercargill 5 years ago and you're on the run,
give us a
he's
call
a celebrity.
Now.
The amazing thing is because that guy, I think he was termed the brown bomber, and he was doing it, was doing it in the same spot.
Yes,
and then he stopped.
He stopped,
and it's like those things where you go.
He's gone inside.
He can't have stopped the urge to human urge.
He was part of the investigative team.
He's locked up.
That
generally,
but
he'll
surface again.
Guys, you may think I'm foolish, but our switchboard has lit up.
Yeah.
And we have mystery poopers.
Would you guys mind if I just use the chamber pot?
Seriously.
Oh, no. Go for a jog first. Have the decency to go for a jog.
1-3-3-5-3.
I'll do it in the next studio.
Mystery poopers. Yes, we are taking your call. Next.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Jane brought this to the table. Mystery poopers.
It doesn't bring me great joy.
Your segment, Jane.
Well.
And very educational during the break too. Thanks for that. We should get a fact sheet out.
I don't know about that.
We won't go into that.
If you'd like the Kennedy Molloy phantom pooping pamphlet, just send a self-addressed stamp.
First of all, I just want to say.
As reading material.
It's not very pleasant. It's off.
Well, you brought this to the table, Jane. I've tried to wave it off.
That was your idea.
Oh, don't back out there.
I am looking at Mick Molloy's binder that has budget information on it with a lot of tabs, a lot of discussion points. All Mick wanted to do was talk about the budget today. And Jane Kennedy came in here with a mystery poo.
That'll
stories.
Do out of you.
See what she said. See what she said as soon as we went to break. She goes, it's come to this.
Yeah.
At least I speak the truth.
You were quite disappointed in yourself.
Oh, I was.
Anyway, you've got to play on, though.
I'm going to speak to our callers because I can't believe what I'm hearing here. Mel?
Hi.
How are you going, Mel?
Mystery pooper.
You sound, just by the way you said hello, Mel, I'm guessing you've found one, not provided one.
What happened?
What can I say? No, I worked at a pool a couple of years ago and we had to release a crossword that spelt out the words no poo in the pool because we had an ongoing spate in the spa, which was 16 years and older, to go in there of poo in the pool every single day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had to release a crossword basically explaining to people why they shouldn't.
So we want to, spas are relaxing.
Isn't it warm?
They're not meant to be that
it?
Relaxing.
Does someone inspect that? Isn't there supposed to be some guy sitting on a high chair looking down on everyone?
They're not expecting someone to let one rip.
Oh, well, you just...
No, the poo inspector's got snorkeling gear on.
He's got to go in.
The problem is, Mel, it's a dangerous... I mean, I don't know who's doing this, obviously, a bit of a sicko, especially if they're repeating... If I could guess at their mentality, they'd go, because of the bubbles and the commotion, I can get away with this.
It's harmless fun. If you
I'm amazed that people can do it at call
because
every day.
I'll put my hand up and go, on a plane, because of the noise and the commotion and the absorptive power of the seat, I'll drop a fart on a plane seat because it's absorptive and you think the noise of the plane covers
and
it.
And an oxygen mask can drop from the ceiling.
And perhaps this person thinks the bubbles, the commotion of the spa is covering it.
Overexcited.
Thank you.
I get
Thanks,
it.
Mel, for that.
I mean, I'm trying to get the inside the mind of a criminal.
You're trying to help.
I mean, I'm trying to do a bit of CSI here. I'm trying to get inside the mind of a criminal.
I'm not going to sit next to you on a plane. Matt.
Yes.
Tell us your story.
Come on, mate. What happened?
Oh, well, it was a while ago. I had a mate who used to work for a small supermarket chain, or the large supermarket chain in Australia.
Yeah.
And he got sacked by them. And he wasn't too impressed, so he went on a 3-month tour around Australia and he actually saved it up every night and snapped one off at every store in Australia. He travelled around for 3 months at the front of the door. So when
At the front of the door.
Leave a nice little Australian flag in it too, right on top.
You should always buy Australian, mate. You know what?
It's just so when someone comes to clean it up, they go, "Well, I'm not going to pick up that German one. I'm going to pick up the Australian
but
made one."
At least he's a patriotic pooper.
You know what? That should have been easy to work out for the supermarket chain.
If it's a big chain,
it's a chain and we're getting it. What I respect. Episode, we go, okay, who has a grievance with us?
What I respect, though, is you wouldn't suspect it's someone from South Australia if you're in Brisbane. So he's done a pretty good job there of covering his
Thank you,
tracks.
Matt.
If you want to see
around
one of those out the front of Bunnings while you're getting your hot dogs, would you?
Hey, Mike.
Not as a tray.
What's happening to you?
What, Mike? What?
Hey, how are you? Well, listen, back in the day, I spent a bit of time in the Army, and when you went on exercise up to Wide Bay and Queensland, place like that, you had to take your own Thunderbox, and they'd supply this tin, and they'd also supply a little bucket of sawdust.
Sure.
Now, I had a young soldier in my troop, and we're out in exercise night, camouflage, tactical. He's gone and taken a dump and come back down, and the next person to go up was... our troop sergeant major, Jock. And then he's gone
Chuck
up.
Sounds like he's up to no good.
Well, all we could hear was this angry Scotsman swearing and cursing and threatening death upon everyone. Apparently, the guy who went up there, he got it mixed up. Anyhow, he took a dump in the sawdust.
Schnitzel.
Instead of the Thunderbox. So when Jock went up there... taken a dump and went to put the sawdust over on the top, put his hand in, and grabbed a great handful.
It would have looked a bit like a gay time. And I don't mean to put people off gay time.
Well, you have.
Can I just say something to our producer today, Sam Kavanagh, who's sick? Never take a day off, mate.
Look what's happening.
He's sitting at home going, what is going on?
Who
Mike,
has allowed
I bet
this?
You thought I'll never be able to tell that story on national radio, but there you go.
Come on, Tony, what happened?
Perfect.
Used to work on a golf course, worked on golf course roughly 10 years.
Yeah.
And this would happen more often you would think, but we used to find quite regularly in the morning someone would do a dump in the hole.
No.
Over the period I was there, 10 years, one guy kept on doing it quite regularly.
What?
And his calling card was basically doing it in the hole, putting the flag next to the hole and putting a poo handprint on the flag.
Oh, yuck!
So that's how we knew it was the same guy every time.
Craig Parry used to do this on tour.
I mean, you know, whose fault is it really? You dig a hole, you create a goal. You should at every night at the golf course lock up the holes. Hey,
when you're coming around the 15th, there's lots of gimmies. You can have that. You can have that. No, you can have that. They need the hole out. Well, that's fantastic. You know,
I don't think we've got. I think we've had enough.
We've had enough. We've got a full board. Believe
right.
it or not.
So really? You've finally. You introduced the topic. You
no, I'm just.
It
we
got
to go.
You take the calls,
I'm
and
being,
now you've had enough.
I'm producing the show right now and saying, I think we should just.
You've had enough, have you?
Oh,
retire.
No, honestly,
I'll get the blame
I'm pooed
for this
out.
Segment. I'll get the blame for this.
Well,
segment.
So you should.
Pooed out is something I thought I'd never hear Jane Kennedy say.
Can you bag that up and we'll put that on as a promo?
Bag that up.
Put that on as a promo.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
One of the great stories I love that we talked about today, and we spoke with John Fairley from Country Valley Farms in Picton.
Yeah.
And he was saying that, you know, it's been really tough because they haven't had a lot of rain. And
That's
he didn't
right.
have crops to feed his cows, his dairy farm.
And he's done. He's cooked. It's too late now. He can't, even if they get all the rain in the world, there's going to be
too
no
late.
Feed.
Yeah.
But Australia listened to him. The word got out.
Came to the party.
And people were adopting cows.
Adopting a cow and naming
them.
It was so much fun.
That.
We rang him up and we asked him if we could have one. He kind of didn't really seem that keen to give us one.
I think, you know what? Australia went over and above the call of duty and helped him out.
And we're still in the hunt, but we're trying to come up with cow names or good names for cows.
And our listeners have been very good with this.
Yes. So they've got a few. Sharon King, which just wants to call it Milk Malloy.
Yeah, I quite like that. I like Paul Conley's. Pretty fly for a steak pie. Now listen, they're milking cows, so they're not going to be, you know.
Mulloy. Edwina Williams.
Kennedy Mulloy.
Kennedy Mulloy, that could work.
Yeah. Darius Dave, because it's a dairy. That was from
T-Bone.
Johnny McConnell. T-Bone.
From Chris Haddad. T-Bone's a good name. Wish that was my nickname. T-Bone.
T-Bone Malloy.
Here he comes, T-Bone.
There's plenty of nicknames, trust me, you don't know about.
What do you mean? Here he comes,
T-Bone. Here comes T-Bone.
Look out. Stand
Big
by
scary everyone. T-Bone.
T-Bone's in the house. Here comes T-Bone.
No, your wrestling name, is it?
Don't look him in the eyes.
Yeah, right.
We all laugh when we hear that. Do you think we're going to have to put bells on your shoes one day when you walk down the corridor? Just to know you're coming.
You sure?
Here comes T-Bone with his bell.
You'll hear them outside your house at 3 a.m. That's when you'll be.
I'm not scared of you.
Wellington. That's a good one from Robert Williams.
Nathan White. This is clever. Holy.
Holy cow. Or what about Trish Beals? Mad.
Yes.
Mad cow.
Mad cow.
Could get that.
That could be your nickname.
Me?
Look out, here comes T-Bone and Mad Cow. Sounds like two mismatched cops. We can start our own show.
Can I wear a black cop's uniform?
Yes.
Thank you.
You can.
That's all I'm going to
wear. You'll be like a modern Cagney and or Lacey.
Well, you will.
Who's the fat guy? What was his name?
Jake and the Fat Man.
Jake and the Fat Man. Dave and the Fat Man.
That's it.
That'll be us.
Yeah.
We've got our own cop show.
Shane will have her own uniform.
Now, what's happening with our producer, Sam? Has anyone checked?
He's very unwell.
I want a doctor's certificate. I want a call because Whitney's run a very loose ship today.
Oh, she's done a
she's
great
get,
job.
No. No.
Oh, she has.
She's done a very good job.
This is Whitney Plowman, who joins us on the show. She's single. She's 30. She's ready to mingle. she's done. The only glaring omission was there wasn't in colour our rundown.
Well, I never got over that.
Obviously.
See me in my office.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I was telling
you? Where is my office?
You don't have one.
You know, I was telling you that I cut my hair. Guess what scissors I realised I used? The dog's fur clipping scissors. I know, they're so sharp.
You want to clean them before you give them to your dog again?
I beg your pardon.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. How dare
Whitney
you?
Said I could say.
You'll have to have a dose of Frontline soon.
You never plug Frontline. It's on at the moment. Why don't you ever go, hey,
Frontline, the TV
what?
Series.
Yeah, it's back on.
Yes, it is. It's on a comedy channel.
How dumb are you? Like, you go.
Listen.
No, seriously.
Respect for me. Okay, I've been around a long time.
But I'm just saying.
Come on.
Why don't you.
It's on the comedy channel at night. Sometimes.
You.
Once
See,
a week.
That didn't hurt. Oh. Hey, we kept promising Bitcoin and we didn't never get around to it.
Sorry about that.
Because it
the
was budget
packed.
Day. We're still waiting for the budget to settle so we know exactly.
Thanks to Scott Pape for talking to us about the budget.
Well done, Hamish, to all our guests. Who's on tomorrow, mate?
Lee Sales joins us tomorrow.
And it's her birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I hope you guys have got us something.
Well, stick around for that. That is tomorrow. This has been Kennedy Malloy.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.